when Mom brought home chocolate oranges from the UK. I wanted to see him happy for so long. But then he pulled the trigger. When I open my eyes, I'm trapped in an endless pirouette, as if someone gave me a spin and I can't stop. The linoleum feels cool under my cheek. All I want to do is let go.
Miss?
A face hovers over me.
Miss, can you hear me?
A thousand knives stab my leg. All the screaming makes me feel sick.
We need a paramedic stat.
They won't come, I think, because I can still see Matt lying in the auditorium. They won't come. They will never come. Save those who will survive the rescue. Start there. But the danger has passed. We are safe. If that's true, why don't I feel safe? Why can't I move? Why is someone screaming until my throat's sore? Am I screaming? Someone tries to move me, but I jerk back.
What's her name?
Someone asks.
Autumn,
a familiar voice answers.
Autumn Brown.
Sylph.
Autumn?
It's the first voice again, soothing and reassuring.
We'll try to make you more comfortable, but we need to move you. We're going to stabilize your leg first.
My leg? I nod, but when I try to raise my hands to meet Sylph's, they don't move. I'm not sure they ever did. Golondrina? Hot tears fall on my face while cool hands fold against my forehead. They draw me out of my nightmares. I open my eyes and the colors swim.
Sylph?
I say it again to make sure my mouth forms her name right, but she doesn't respond. She caresses my cheek. She takes my hand in hers because I still do not remember how to move. She presses her lips to my fingers, and I want to hold her, no matter who might see. She glances down at my legs. Her pity and helplessness are so clear. I wanted to dance so much it tore me up inside. I was willing to sacrifice everything to dance. But when Ty pointed the gun at me, he broke me. I'll never mend again. Ty made good on his promise. I didn't need to die for him to kill me. He simply lowered his gun and pulled the trigger. And his bullet tore my knee to shreds.
J@JIke32 to Kevin@KevinDR. I'll be waiting. I'll be waiting until I'm able to say goodbye to you. Or maybe hello. 10:53 a.m. J@JIke32 to Kevin@KevinDR. I wish I knew how little time we had. 10:53 a.m. Chapter 26, 10:53 to 10:55 a.m.
Sylph. I hold Autumn's hand as the paramedics get her onto a stretcher, as they carry her toward the stairs. The SWAT teams lead us out, but they leave Tyler and Tomas behind. It's so wrong, seeing them there together. Together and yet so, so far apart. A smile plays around Tomas's lips. Something inside me waits for him to stand up and follow us out. But he doesn't. Autumn moans. She's clear some moments, only to fade away the next. Her leg is a bloody mess, and I don't know how they'll be able to fix it. I don't know how she'll ever dance. How she'll ever soar through the air again. I wanted to keep her. I wanted to be her home. I wanted her to fly, but I always hoped she would come back to me. Not like this, though. Never like this. When we reach the first floor, the hallways are empty. There are only the bodies and the bloodstains and the screams that haunt the school. On our way to the main entrance, we pass the doors to the auditorium, which are wide open now. The seats are empty. Paramedics care for the wounded, and policemen and detectives scour the area for evidence. From this perspective, with the locks cut and all the doors open, the auditorium looks smaller. On any other day, the doors would open to laughter and discussions about our break. The doors would open, and we would head to our lockers, to Spanish, to my A-push midterm. The doors would open to life. The bell rings, signaling the end of third period. Autumn groans on the stretcher. Her eyes flicker open. Are we leaving? Are we free? I squeeze her hand. I want to kiss her. Tell her I'm so sorry that this is not how I meant to keep her. Instead, I nod and blink against the sunlight as we emerge outdoors. This is where we leave opportunity behind.
Claire. The voices of families and news crews, the sirens driving on and off the campus, it all fades to the background. When the first ambulances carry the wounded away from the school, the crowds step aside to let them pass. The students on the field watch the school's main entrance in silence, motionless. Word has spread, even if it's not official yet. Relief overtakes the grief. It is over. I zigzag around the tents and the police units, staying to the side of the parking lot. Once I've passed the south side of the school, the police presence diminishes. The farther I am from the command center, the fewer police cars there are. I duck under the plastic tape. On this side of the parking lot, it's all student cars. I remember all those times Tracy drove here to watch me run track. I remember all the times we would drive around, the top down on her old convertible, me in the front and Matt in the back, the wind playing with our hair so it felt like we were flying. I head toward the woods behind the school. There is the constant flashing of the emergency lights, but only the birds give their occasional commentary here. No one stops me. The barren trees are dark. Matt always told me the woods here are haunted. He planned to take us on a ghost hunt someday. All of us. God, I should call my sister. I should tell her. I should go home. In the distance, someone calls my name, and sirens tear through the silence again. I rest my head in my hands and I cry.
Autumn. It's cold outside. The paramedics on either side of my stretcher carry me out with brusque efficiency, while Sylve keeps hold of my hand. I drift in and out of consciousness. It's merciful because in those instants I do not have to wonder who I am supposed to be. I do not want to see this world yet. This world Ty created and then left. This morning I wished I could escape to anywhere, be anything. Now all my dreams are out of reach and I wonder if I'll ever make it home again. But Sylve is still beside me. I don't want to ever let her go. For all that we lost, we have gained each other. Maybe that's all we need for now. This is our moment. Sylve is with me as we pass the crowd of parents and police officers and news crews and survivors. She is with me as the paramedics carry me to an ambulance. She is with me. Ty will still win if we give up now, if we live in fear, if we let go of ourselves and each other. So I will hold on to Sylve's hand for as long as I can. Together, we can rebuild our dreams. Sylve bends forward to kiss my hair. I reach for her and my lips meet hers. In one kiss, I try to tell her everything I can't say yet. That I'm sorry, so sorry. That there are so many things I have to figure out. Who I was or who I can be. But that my heart is hers. And if she'll accept me, it's the best I can give us. We may not have forever. But we still have tomorrow. When she breaks away, big fluffy snowflakes begin to drift down. And we are in orbit around each other.
The Adventures of May.
Current location. Home. Waiting. I've read the tweets and posts online. I know teachers died. I know what people say about Dad. But he taught me to read the hope between the lines, so I won't believe them, not yet. Dad always told me there are more stories in the universe than stars in the sky. And in every story, there's the light of hope. That's why the seniors sent lanterns up to the sky, to make sure the darkness is never absolute. Comments. Disabled.
Epilogue. 11:59 p.m.
Sylve. Farid broke into the school tonight. After it was cordoned off and the officers retired for the night, he sneaked in through the roof, the same way we tried to get out and didn't. But this time he was prepared. When he crawled out of the school again, he texted most of the senior class, and we spread the news through brothers and sisters, friends, neighbors, acquaintances. Not one of us slept. Not one of us could. So in the middle of the night, we found our way to Opportunity. In cars, on bikes, by foot. We picked up everyone who didn't have transportation. It could be any other first day of the semester, the way the cars converge on the road to the school, the way the students stream out. The moon shines bright in the clear night sky, lighting up the field around us. All of us. Students and teachers. Opportunity. We aren't complete. When we reach out to join hands, we're all aware of the 39 dead, of the 25 in the hospital. So many lost. So many broken. Autumn is having surgery on her leg. She won't go to Juilliard for her audition. She might not dance again, or she might work hard and heal and try again next year. Her dad won't stop her now. He'll never touch her again. My Autumn would fight to dance, but after today, I don't know anymore. The road has tripped her up, like it has us all. We don't belong to the rich, good earth, and we don't belong to the horizons. We are tied to opportunity, and maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. We plant our seeds here to take root and blossom. Farid stands on my left and squeezes my fingers so tight. His lips move in silent prayer. I open my mouth and close it again. I don't know what to say. I simply watch as our circle grows and more prayers are offered into the night. Someone brought candles, and we all take one. We take them for the missing, too. I reach out, and for the briefest, most heartbreaking moment, I expect Tomas's calloused hands to wrap around mine and his thumb to tickle my palm. I expect him to reach over and tug at my hair and whisper, "Let's hide the candles." I'd elbow him and hiss at him not to be such an idiot. Ah, Dios, I'd give anything to call him an idiot one more time. The hand that meets mine is slender and strong. The girl beside me glances my way. A girl who once stood up for me at junior prom, when all this started. Or perhaps it started long before then. Claire smiles politely. Her eyes are haunted by the loss of a brother, too. It's a new kinship between us. Silence falls as the prayers cease, and all eyes turn to Farid. He speaks, his accent coloring his words. "We are not better because we survived. We are not brighter or more deserving. We are not stronger. But we are here. We are here, and this day will never leave us. Nor should it. We will remember the wounded. We will remember the lost." He walks to the center of the circle where his bounty waits for us. More than 36 lanterns are spread out over the grass. It's not time for the lantern festival yet. No bonfire. No marshmallows. No stories to tell. Only this story of the 39 we lost. With every name Fareed reads, a student steps forward and picks up a lantern. When the name of a teacher is called, other teachers follow our lead. Near the end of our list, Matt, my neighbor, retrieves a lantern. When Tomas's name is called, so do I. I return to the circle and offer Fareed a wrinkled letter, tightly rolled, to use as a fuse, to burn with the memory of today. He smiles softly as he lights it.
We will remember the 39 tonight. We will remember them tomorrow. We will remember them for all our tomorrows. And there will be many tomorrows. There'll be thousands of them. So let's make them good ones. We are opportunity, and we will not be afraid. We are opportunity, and we will live.
The paper smolders, but it's enough to light the fuses. Other sparks light up the darkness. The lanterns get lit one by one. Slowly, the words on the paper lanterns become visible. Mr. Jameson always asked the seniors to write their hopes and dreams on the fragile paper. These are not wishes, but names. I stare at Tomas's name as my vision swims with tears. For a few precious seconds, I'm alone with my lantern and my brother. The lantern gently tugs upward. It's warm enough, ready to be released. I hold on for one more moment. Then, around me, other lanterns are released. They float over our heads into the darkness, toward the promise of a new day. I take a deep breath and caress the rice paper between thumb and finger. And I let go.
We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of This Is Where It Ends by Marika Nykamp. Performed by Amy McFadden, Brittany Presley, Kate Rudd, Lauren Ezzo, Nick Podell, Scott Merriman, and Whitney Dykhouse. Directed by Tom Parks. Engineered by Brian Watkins and Kelsey Knoll. Performance copyright 2015 by Brilliance Audio, all rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance Audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.